Our second scripture lesson this morning is perhaps, and as I read it, you may think it's an unusual pairing with the story of the golden calf. But I hope you'll bear with me and listen to these beautiful words that the Apostle Paul shares with his beloved church in Philippia. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellows, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I don't think that anyone would disagree with me that we are living in anxious times. And I picked these two scriptures because they depict an anxious time in the life of God's people. Our first scripture lesson this morning, the story of the golden calf, is a story of anxiety. Moses, the leader of God's people, has gone for an extended amount of time. They didn't have telephones or walkie-talkies to keep in touch with Moses. As he's up on the mountain, the people are down below thinking, I'm not very easy about, you know, what's going on. Where is Moses? Is he coming back? The people feel lost at sea without a direction. They thought about their time back in Egypt, how the Egyptians had several many gods, statues around that they sought direction from. So they went to Aaron, Moses' second in command. And they said, Aaron, make us gods who will go before us. They were anxious and they were fearful. They perceived a vacuum in the place that Moses usually occupied and felt that they had to have something to fill that void. Now, young people and adults who have been through a course in physics, you know what happens when there is a void. Anywhere, what happens? There is an effort on behalf of everything surrounding it to fill that void, isn't there? Well, it's the same with we as people. When there is a void, there's something in us that really wants to fill that void. Think about how hard it is to be quiet. Have you ever tried to sit and meditate and be absolutely quiet in your own heart, in your own mind, for more than a minute or two? It is hard. It takes some discipline, because we think of that quiet as a void, something that needs to be filled. We've got to fill that up with some thoughts or maybe some speech, or turn on the radio and let someone else fill in the void for you. Now, Moses has created that void by going up on the mountain and communing with God. Aaron is the leader now. Now remember that Aaron was not God's chosen leader. that Aaron had a specific function, because Moses was not a man who was given to being a speaker. He did not, he pleaded with God not to let him, not to make him be the one that goes before Pharaoh, because he said, "I don't speak well, Lord." You know, and God apparently agreed with him, because God, that was at the, when God gave him Aaron. Now Aaron would have admitted he was inadequate to lead these people. He was empathetic. That means he felt their pain, their anxiety. And he wanted to relieve that anxiety. A lot of us are that way with our friends and neighbors. We want to relieve any discomfort that they have. Have you ever had that situation where a friend is, perhaps they've lost a loved one? You want to take away their pain. You want to get them to move on out of it. But maybe that's not the right thing to do. Maybe if you've lost a loved one, you need to take that time to grieve. That's just an example. So Aaron, he wants to relieve the anxiety of the people. So he says, "Take all your gold jewelry, bring it here, and we'll make us a god for you." And he was pleased when the calf seemed to calm their unrest. And he went on to build an altar on which they could sacrifice to this calf god. Now this was not a case where it was all black and white, that they had just abandoned the god that led them out of Egypt. You can think of this as the fact that they mixed the ideas that they had learned in Egypt with the ideas that Moses had taught them about God. And so this calf god was a mixture of the god who brought them out of Egypt and the gods that they knew in Egypt. It was not a black and white kind of thing. They were just looking for something to fill that anxious void, okay? Now, Aaron was a failure as a leader. He joined the anxiety of the group instead of standing aside and seeking the will of God. He led those people with good intentions into the very judgment of Almighty God. Even though God was persuaded not to destroy the people, if you read on in the story, 3,000 people died in the initial judgment carried out by Moses. And then many more suffered later because God brought a plague on them because of their idolatry. This all proved that Aaron just wasn't a very good leader. Now, in our lesson from Philippians, we have a much better example of leadership. You were wondering how I was going to tie these two together. This is how we're tying these two scriptures together. Aaron was a terrible leader. And here we have the Apostle Paul. He should have been in terrible shape. He was in prison. Now, he could have, in his imprisonment, been bitter, focusing all the negative and saying, "Woe is me," and how awful it is. And he could look at all that was wrong with his life, all that he had lost. Instead, he focused on the positive, on all that was right, on all that he still had. I imagine that his letter to the Philippians is written as much to himself as it is to them. Being in prison, he had every reason to be depressed. But what did he write? He wrote some words that I have heard quoted more often during this COVID pandemic than almost any other quotation from the Bible. "Rejoice in the Lord always. With thanksgiving, let your request be known to God." It's beautiful. I'm going to read that passage again, just so you're reminded. Verses 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And what happens when you do that? You're anxious. There's a void, and you're really worried about that void. What happens? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is it that fills the void? The love of God and Jesus Christ. The void no longer needs to be filled. Your anxiety is over nothing because God is right there. God is at hand to fill that void with his love and care. Paul had every reason to look on the dark side of his circumstance. And remember that Paul is a leader of the church. He had founded churches everywhere he went. And he says this, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about those things. He had every reason to give up, but instead he wrote, I press on. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yes, he was writing to himself as much as he was to others. Now, there is an anxiety in the Philippian church. There's a squabble between two prominent women in the church. They're having a disagreement. Both of them are faithful, and he loves them both because they've been co-workers with him in the spreading of the gospel. What is his answer to their anxiety? The church is worried. What's going to happen to us? These two prominent women in our church just can't get along. He points them to God. He says, rejoice. Do not be anxious, but by prayer and petition, ask God for the solution to your problem, and you will find peace in Christ Jesus. That's the kind of leadership that Christ wants in his church. That's the kind of leadership that Christ raises up in his church. Aaron went along with the anxiety. He led them into idolatry. Paul, on the other hand, led them to God. You see the difference there? I want to back up a minute, though. There's another lesson here in this comparison. Paul's witness here is so powerful. A lot of us will face, and maybe are facing right now, difficult situations in life. And what Paul demonstrates for us is that we have a choice when we're in the midst of a difficult situation. We have a choice about what we will maximize and what we will minimize. You can maximize your misery and your suffering and your self-pity. You can choose to go that route, and nobody will blame you, especially if you're sick and you're in the hospital or you've been afflicted in some other way. Nobody's going to blame you. There are some who are like Aaron who will go along and try to make you feel better. But if you choose to minimize the self-pity, to minimize and maximize the positives around you, you'll be far better equipped to deal with whatever is coming and to make the very best of things in whatever times you find yourself. And that's, of course, assuming that there's a negative situation that you have to deal with in your life. But what happens if there's a positive situation in your life? If things go your way, if the stock you bought suddenly goes through the roof and you, for your whatever reason, you're wealthier than you ever thought you could be. Or, you know, you're working out in your yard and, you know, like the classic example of the Beverly Hillbillies, you go dig for something in your garden and you come up with a crude oil and you're suddenly wealthy with beyond your dreams. Good things can happen too. And we have the choice to make when those things happen. We can choose to say, oh, it's all about me, isn't it? When We talked about the idols. This one comes out when things are going well. Haven't I done well for myself? I look in that mirror, boy, I'm a successful person. I'm not half bad looking. All of my success and all of my well-being is all because of me, right? That's the other thing. That's the opposite side of the coin we have to guard against. And what is it that Paul teaches us is go take it back to God. If you're successful, take it back to God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your blessings upon me. And by the way, what would you have me to do? You blessed me with all of this material wealth. What would you have me do with that wealth now? That's what Paul would say to us. One of the fundamental beliefs in American society is that success comes to those who work hard, and I don't want to depreciate that. It is true. It's part of our American credo. We work hard, and if you work hard, you receive the benefits of that work in your life, and that those benefits will be commensurate with the amount of effort that you put into it. Now, I don't want to depreciate that, but at the same time, where's God? Where's God in that? If you work hard and you get all A's in high school and in college and you land a top job, what are you saying to yourself? You're going to say, look what I have done. I've jumped through all these hoops. I've read all these books. I've learned all this information. And look at me. Look what I've done. But you know, there was a survey that was done just a few years ago of some of the most successful people in our nation. These are corporate managers who they were asked to share their own understanding of the reasons for their success in business. Now, you would think that they would have said, repeated that old American credo about how hard work and long hours have led to their success, but surprisingly, they didn't. Instead, they had the candor to confess that much of their success could be explained only by what they called sheer luck. They just happened to be at the right place at the right time, knew the right people, made the right decision in a certain situation. Now, what they call luck, I say, is the hand of God. Paul would say, is the hand of God. I know we work hard at school and in our vocations. We strive to protect our health. We cultivate the talent that God has given us, and we discipline our time, and we're conscientious in filling our responsibilities. And in that limited sense, yes, we can claim some ownership over what we have and what we are, but there's always that extra that God gives us. And many successful people will tell you that that's God. That happenstance where the right things happened at the right time, they happened to be in the right room and answer the right question or do the right thing. That's God. Now, if you push this thinking far enough back, we have to conclude that whatever good fortune, whatever success and good health that we have enjoyed, it's not something we have deserved or earned. It's a gift. It's a gift of God's grace. And I choose to be grateful. Paul chose to be grateful, even though he was in prison, even though he was suffering and he would eventually die in that prison. He chose to be grateful. He said, whatever's good, whatever's lovely, whatever is great, keep your mind focused on these things. And if you have a problem, turn to God. I want to choose to be a Christian that gives God the glory, both in good times and in difficult times. One who places my trust in God even, and particularly, when times are difficult. People ask me, what kind of witness can we have during this particular time in history when the COVID virus is rampant and political unrest is happening? We can choose to trust in God, to bring those issues and those problems to Almighty God. To Him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Remind us, O God, not to set ourselves up as idols, not to take your seat in the center of our being. We have given ourselves to Jesus Christ. Help us to keep Him as Lord of our lives in every possible way. When things are going well for us, help us to give you thanks. When things fall apart and they're very difficult, help us to turn to you for our strength and our comfort. Help us not to fear voids around us. And when someone around us is feeling anxiety, let us set ourselves apart and say, let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Help us to witness to you each and every day in each and every way. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.